Canada HR News on February 27, 2023. I'm Elena Bobireva. In today's episode, we talk about ChatGPT starting to replace workers, more funding in Canada to train truck drivers. Despite being very good at attracting immigrants, Canada fails to use their skills. 4-day work week gaining more popularity, and other topics. Stay with us to get the latest HR updates. Effective April 1st, the Yukon's minimum wage will increase from $15.70 to $16.70 per hour. This increase is based on the 2022 Consumer Price Index for Whitehorse, which is 6.8%. The government states that this increase will help people earning minimum wage to afford necessities. It will also help businesses attract and retain employees. This increase aligns with other jurisdictions that have already raised their hourly minimum wage above $15. British Columbia, Alberta, Ontario, the Northwest Territories, and Nunavut all have minimum wages at or above $15 per hour. The Government of Canada raised the federal minimum wage to $15.55 an hour on April 1, 2022. According to 2021 Yukon Employment and Skills Survey data, 4% of employed people in the Yukon reported earning a minimum wage in the fall of 2021. The survey states that the overall average wage for Yukon workers was $34.85 per hour. The British Columbia's Employment Standards Branch will hire more staff to resolve disputes between workers and employers, provide guidance on BC's employment standards, and process employer registrations for temporary foreign workers. The government is increasing the branch's operating budget by nearly $12 million over 3 years to hire as many as 33 more full-time employees in response to the growing demand for its services. Each year, the branch receives more than 100,000 requests for information in multiple languages and resolves thousands of disputes. The branch provides information and advice to employers and workers on employment standards and workers' rights under the Employment Standards Act. It also investigates and resolves disputes brought forward by workers who believe they are owed wages. The government states that over the past few years, demand for the services at the branch has risen steadily due to a growing workforce, employment issues related to the pandemic, and a surge of employers seeking to register before hiring temporary foreign workers. A free program that trains women in Vancouver to become truck drivers is getting a funding boost from the province. The YWCA's Change in Gears program has received $1.6 million from BC's Community and Employer Partnerships Program, which will allow up to 50 more women to undergo training for a career as a truck driver. The 24-week program is open to women who are unemployed with a Class 5 license and a clean driving abstract. Initial training in Vancouver is followed by instruction at a licensed driving school with locations across the region. According to Trucking HR Canada's November 2022 labor market snapshot, only 3.5% of truck drivers in Canada are women, and demand for qualified drivers is set to surge due to an aging workforce. In BC, 12,300 vacancies in the sector are projected over the next 10 years, the vast majority of which will be due to openings created by the need to replace retiring drivers. Last week, the Government of Canada announced investments of up to $46.3 million to Trucking Human Resources Canada to support recruitment, training, and onboarding of up to 1,400 new truck drivers and 1,200 workers for other in-demand occupations within the trucking sector. The project will also address inconsistencies in driver training by developing a national standard that will support transferable skills and bridge the gap between entry-level training and employability throughout Canada. Up to 2,600 participants, with an emphasis on women and other equity-deserving groups, will receive training, on-the-job work experience, and other wraparound supports, such as travel and living expenses. The Canadian Trucking Alliance forecasts that the trucking industry will have a shortage of 55,000 workers at the end of 2023. According to a report from Royal Bank of Canada, immigrants tend to do worse when it comes to finding a suitable job compared with non-immigrants. Few countries are doing a better job of attracting immigrants than Canada. On average, for every 1,000 people in Canada, there were about 8 migrants between 2010 and 2019. This is the highest level among G7 countries. Canada leads the G7 in attracting immigrants, with newcomers now driving 90% of population growth. And Statistics Canada expects that to reach 100% by 2050. Immigrants to Canada are better educated and younger than the domestic workforce, but they are much more likely to work in jobs requiring less education. Poor recognition of foreign credentials is the primary obstacle of better utilization of immigrant skills. This challenge, present in all sectors, is particularly daunting for those with degrees in medicine, dentistry, veterinary medicine, or optometry. By RBC count, immigrants with a degree in those fields are 6 times more likely to work in jobs that do not require related training. Their skills are thus underutilized compared to non-immigrants with similar degrees. Job vacancies in Canada have dropped since last summer, and more Canadian businesses were expecting a weaker outlook in Q4 2022, according to the Bank of Canada's Business Outlook Survey. But labor shortages will return as the population continues to age. Having a younger, better educated inflow of immigrant workers could help immensely. And better utilization of immigrant skills will be key to economic prosperity as immigration continues to drive Canadian workforce growth. Airbus is expanding its search for new talent in Canada to accelerate the production rate of the A220 aircraft. The company plans to recruit more than 800 new employees in Canada in 2023. Airbus states that their recruitment needs in Canada are diverse, ranging from helicopters to defense, space to commercial aircraft, from subcomponent assembly to flight operations, and include production and quality, engineering, IT, and customer service positions. 2/3 of the workforce will be in support functions, while 1/3 will be in production. In Canada, more than 4,000 individuals work at the 10 sites and offices of Airbus and its subsidiaries. Out of 800 new employees, the company plans to hire approximately 700 in Quebec. Algonquin Highlands will soon be the latest small-town municipality in rural Ontario to convert to a 4-day work week. Starting in March, the cottage country destination will join the townships of Zora, Aylmer, Springwater, and French River, all which made the same move in recent years to boost work-life balance and attract and retain staff. 4-day workweek pilot garners impressive results. As we reported last year in our September episode, in the UK, 78% of 70 companies participating in the 6-month 4-day workweek pilot cite seamless transition, improved productivity and cost savings. And 88% of the companies say the setup is working well or extremely well. In Algonquin Highlands, about 95% of the town's staff have opted to work longer workdays in exchange for a day off after a 7-month trial period. Not only was this a morale booster, but it had minimal impact on services. Staff survey revealed that the shortened workweek brought an improved work-life balance and higher morale. Municipal administration staff participated in a compressed workweek trial last year. 2 teams worked either Monday to Thursday or Tuesday to Friday. Their hours were between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. The 2-team approach was utilized to pair employees with overlapping or complementary knowledge, skill sets, and responsibilities to make sure there was no impact on productivity or business continuity. The trial program was to measure any enhanced customer service with 5 additional hours per week, improved workplace morale by extending weekends, innovative recruitment and retention opportunity, and reducing carbon emissions by having staff commute to work one less day per week. All staff that participated support a permanent compressed work week. Some companies are already replacing workers with ChatGPT, despite warnings it shouldn't be relied on for anything important. In the 10 or so days since its grand entrance, ChatGPT has been widely featured in Twitter feeds, igniting ethical debates in schools and newsrooms, and entering companies' important business decisions. OpenAI initially launched ChatGPT toward the end of November, but the artificial intelligence chatbot had its stable release in early February. Earlier this month, job advice platform ResumeBuilder.com surveyed 1,000 business leaders who either use or plan to use ChatGPT. It found that nearly half of the companies have implemented the chatbot, and roughly half of this cohort say ChatGPT has already replaced workers at their organizations. Business leaders say their companies use ChatGPT for a variety of reasons, including 66% for writing code, 58% for copywriting and content creation, 57% for customer support, and 52% for meeting summaries and other documents. In the hiring process, 77% of companies use ChatGPT to help write job descriptions, 66% to draft interview requisitions, and 65% to respond to applications. Overall, most business leaders are impressed by ChatGPT's work. 55% say the quality of work produced by ChatGPT is excellent, while 34% say it's very good. ChatGPT is not without its critiques, including concerns regarding cheating and plagiarism, racism and sexism bias, accuracy, and overall questions about how it's been trained to learn. As with all new technologies, companies' use of ChatGPT will be continuously evolving. Of the companies ResumeBuilder.com identified as businesses using the chatbots, 93% say they plan to expand their use of ChatGPT, and 90% of executives say ChatGPT experience is beneficial for job seekers if it hasn't already replaced their jobs. And this was Canada HR News on February 27, 2023. Please leave us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcasts. You can also find us in Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other platforms. For more information on the topics discussed today, see the episode description and connect with us on Twitter at CAD HR News or LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast.